Ramsey TV.
From the barren tundras of North Central Ohio, this is Martin Zender. I am here at the generosity and the hospitality of my son Gabe in the house where I raised him. It's the least he can do for me, right? Let me visit his house. And I'm happy to be here sharing the truth with you. I said something yesterday that I want to amplify upon. I meant to do it yesterday, but I didn't. I talked about in the book of Acts, which is a fascinating book. It's a book of transition. Keep that in mind. When you hear the book of Acts, think transition. It's a transition from the nations, from Israel to the nations. Israel starts strong. Acts 2, 3, 4. It's a heyday. It's a heyday. What, 5,000 believe in the after Peter's inspired address? But then things went bad. The priesthood rejected the testimony of the 12. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit. That was the sin that they would not be forgiven for the eon. Jesus said there is a sin that will not be forgiven in this eon or that which is impending. That's what he said, the literal translation. Not in this eon or that which is impending. This eon is this eon. We're in it. The impending eon is the 1,000 years. That is the fabled millennium that will belong to Israel. Those who rejected the message of the disciples and threw away the, quote, offer of the kingdom, they're going to miss out on the 1,000 years. Yes, sir. They will be like the 5 foolish virgins with no oil in their lamps. They will be cast out, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A Kleenex salesman and a dentist will do brisk business during those days. So the kingdom was rejected. Paul comes in, Acts chapter 9, and then we see Israel receding, the body of Christ getting more prominent. Now, this is what you are to look for at the end of this era, at the end of this administration of the grace of God, which is closing rapidly. Haven't changed my mind about that at all. We are in the final days of this eon. You will find Israel will come back. The body of Christ will recede. This is why, you know, things are getting strangely dim. This is why, I'm not saying people aren't coming into it. They are. I could get more views on my YouTube channel, which is interesting. I let those chips fall. I just do my thing. God decides who hears it. God decides who receives it. But the body of Christ will get less and less, and they will be snatched away. We will be snatched away to meet the dead in Christ, and we will disappear from this earth, and everything can be happy again. Actually not. Actually, we're restraining the great evil. We are restraining. In fact, I have a friend who's going to move from point A to point B, and she anticipates that when she moves from point A, things will go to hell in point A. And this is not immodest at all. This is real. Where you are, there is peace. People don't even realize that they're benefiting from your presence. I don't even care if you're sitting there on the sofa with your arms crossed. You are a blessing, because the Spirit of God makes its home in you. You know the truth. You're not a faker. You're not a poser. You don't have feigned faith. Even your pets know that you are the key to their deliverance. Of course, I'm speaking of Romans chapter 8, which says that the premonition of the creature itself is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. So we are restraining evil, microcosmically and macrocosmically, because once we're the detainer, we detain the coming of the presentation of the man of lawlessness. I believe the man of lawlessness is alive today, but I believe that the manifestation of the man of lawlessness is not him being born, it is not him being on the world stage, but it's a major announcement or some kind of major event that brings him to the fore of the fore. And we are restraining that. So when we're gone, all hell's going to break loose. I tell people this. So you better appreciate me around here, because as soon as I leave, all hell's going to break loose. Sounds arrogant, but it's not. It's actual fact. So anyway, we're going to get less. And the world's not going to miss us when we're gone. Hell no. As I've told you many times, my friend Charlie Kronk used to tell me 5,000 people a day come up missing in the United States. Nobody ever hears about it. Have you heard about them today? You know anything about them? No? There's fewer than 5,000 in the body of Christ alive today, I believe. So we're going to see a reverse of what was happening in Acts. Big time Israel. Israel on the slant downward. Big time nations. At the end of this eon, nations on the slant downward, Israel back in play. Now, the Ten Commandments. What do you think about this? What do you think of this pastor that came to me one time, true story, came to me and said, Martin, things are going bad in my church. I said, well, for one thing, it's a church. No, I didn't say that. But I'll tell you what I did say. He says, I can't understand it. People seem to be going crazy. There seems to be this rash of sin in my church. People are getting divorced. People are backbiting. They're suing one another. I can't understand it. I said, well, tell me a little bit about your situation. Tell me a little bit about your setup. He said, well, I preach grace. Yeah, right. That's what they all say. Huh. If you don't know the salvation of all, you don't preach grace. I preach grace. I got the Ten Commandments on the wall. I said, stop right there. What? I got the Ten Commandments on the wall. I said, well, there's your problem right there. He says, what do you mean? I said, the Ten Commandments produce criminals. The Ten Commandments produce criminals. The guy couldn't believe it. He said, this is the pure law of God. I said, I know. It came to Moses on Mount Sinai by the agency of messengers. I know. It came in glory. I said, I know. But it came in glory, but Moses covered his face because it was a fading glory. And the law came to increase indignation. I show these people Romans 5:20, and they absolutely can't believe it. I myself thought it was a misprint when I first saw it. Law came in by the way, Romans 5:20, law came in by the way, so that offense should be increasing. Yet where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Offense increases with the coming of law. And Paul describes this perfectly in Romans chapter 7. Paul said, I did not think of coveting, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. The law, and my sin, Paul says, getting an incentive through the precept, produces in me all manner of coveting. There it is in a nutshell. Paul is living out the truth of Romans 5:20. Romans 5:20 is the truth. Romans chapter 7 is the enactment of the truth. Paul is living, breathing testament. He didn't admit it while this was happening. He probably knew subconsciously that he wasn't thinking about coveting, but then he obsessed himself over the commandments, as Christians do today. They obsess over the commandments, and they go through this checklist every day. Am I coveting? Am I honoring God? Am I honoring my parents? Which we're not saying. I'm not saying. I'm going to explain this briefly. I'm not saying that you should dishonor your parents, that you should covet, that you should commit adultery, that you should have false gods before you. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the way to that is not through the law. And it's not because the law is wrong or evil. The law is perfect. The law is good. But it is infirm through the flesh. The law is infirm because of flesh. It's not infirm of itself, it's infirm when the flesh attempts to do it. This is a great lesson that the people who tack the Ten Commandments on the wall in their churches haven't learned yet. It's like, read these, do these. Oh man, the church sign I saw many years ago, I made a video about it, was God gave 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. Can you believe the ignorance of putting a sign like that out during an administration of grace? Ten Commandments was not meant to produce righteousness. It is righteous, but it wasn't meant to produce righteousness in human beings because human beings are infirm through the flesh. The law was a schoolmaster to teach us what was, to teach Israel what was right. We're the nations. We're watching from the bleachers as Israel screws this up every which way. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to the solution, which is Christ. Christ fulfilled the law. Israel is to put their trust in him. He's the one. He's the Messiah of Israel who will take them into the kingdom. And we're just watching this from the bleachers because here's another thing I tell people. I'm not under the Ten Commandments. Ooh, they hate that one. They hate it when I tell them that. So I'm not under the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments didn't even come to me. Why are you putting... Well, for one thing, why would you put something on the wall that would produce indignation? Oh, going to get to that here. That sign, this guy, this pastor, I said, you're producing criminals. You have people in your church that had not even thought of coveting. Then you put this giant sign on the wall, thou shalt not covet, and you're going to have covet, and everybody starts coveting. It's as predictable as thunder and lightning. Or is it lightning and thunder? Yeah, it's as predictable as lightning and thunder. You put the law on the wall, and you wonder, why is everybody sinning like crazy? Do I have to tell you everything? Am I the only guy who reads the Bible? Seriously. It's a no-brainer, sir. Take the law off the wall. You can teach about it, but don't put it in people's faces. And for God's sake, don't put up a sign that says God gave 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions, as if the law of Moses is still a viable means to righteousness. It's not. Righteousness comes through Jesus Christ's faith. It's imparted to us freely by grace. Not even Israel is supposed to be doing law today. They can't. They are waiting for the transference of the priesthood from the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, to the Melchizedek priesthood, which is an indissoluble priesthood. Come through an indissoluble life. That is the life of Christ, typified by this character, Melchizedek. Love that guy. But he's not my guy. He's not my guy. But I like what he did. I like what he stood for. And I like that there's a new priesthood that's named after him. Love it. It's one good thing about being an Israelite. You get to come under the Melchizedek priesthood. What priesthood are you under? The Melchizedek priesthood. That will turn heads. So let's read something about this law. I'm going to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. The letter is killing. The letter is killing. What is the letter? The letter of the context is... the letter written in stone. Paul says that in verse 7. Now, if the dispensation of death by letters chiseled in stone, right? By letters. You know what some people say? Some people told me that the letter kills. They think that the letter that kills is the Bible. They have used this verse against me because I study too much and I dissect words too much. And that the letter kills. They think the letter is the scriptures, like the words of Paul. It kills. No. In the context, the letter chiseled in stone, the Ten Commandments, it kills. So it's a dispensation of death. And Paul says that in verse 7. Now, if the dispensation of death, stop right there. The law is called dispensation of death. Why would you want to kill your congregants by putting the Ten Commandments on the wall? Let's continue. Now, if the dispensation of death by letters chiseled in stone came in glory, so that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently into the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, which was being nullified, how shall not rather the dispensation of the Spirit be in glory? Paul takes it from another angle in verse 9. For if the dispensation of condemnation is glory, so he's calling the law in one context here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, a dispensation of death, and a dispensation of condemnation. So if you want to kill and condemn your people, then put the Ten Commandments on the wall. Oh, so I tell this guy, I'm not even under the Ten Commandments. So how can you possibly say that? Like I say, these people, if they read scripture at all, they read it through the filter of their denomination. Because I'm looking at Romans chapter 2, verse 14, for whenever they of the nations, that's me, that have no law. The Ten Commandments came to one nation only. The rest of the nations got lucky. Yeah. The rest of the nations were lucky. They didn't get the law. Because the law has put Israel through the ringer of condemnation, death, sin, and offense, because they have not yet learned the lesson of the law. Haven't gotten the memo that it's a dispensation of death and that it kills and that it's a dispensation of condemnation. They haven't understood that, because they're still striving in accord with flesh to produce outward commands. Why? It's because they are in love. Israelites and wannabe Israelites are in love with their accomplishments. They're in love with self-attainment. They're in love with thinking that God is looking to them to show him something. Show me something. Show me something. Again, the analogy I used before is like Simon Cowell. He's a judge sitting there, God is, with an English accent. Show me something. And they are performing on stage, and God grades them. They like that because they can get a higher grade than somebody else. Away with all of this. Away with it. Paul says in Romans 2 that whenever they of the nations have no law, by nature may be doing that which the law demands. These having no law are a law to themselves, who are displaying the action of the law written in their hearts. Our hearts are displaying the action of the law, but they are doing it apart from law. Because we, ladies and gentlemen, are home to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God makes its home in us. And that Spirit produces fruit. As I mentioned yesterday, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law.